Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, and verse 1, that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through his Son, Jesus Christ, to whom to be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I believe that's 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 11. I said verse 1, verses 11. I'd like to bring our attention this morning to the book of 2 Peter and the subject that we will study from will be the amnesia of apostasy. The book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. And we'll read starting at verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. And we'll read down through verse 22. The amnesia of apostasy will be the subject. And those of you that have this, let us read. These are wells without water. And I'm reading from a different translation, but the meaning is still the same if you still have the old King James Version. It said, these wells are without water, clouds carried by a tempest, from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in themselves, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. We'll let those scriptures serve this morning as our scripture reading. But before we get started, I'd just like to say, first of all, we thank Almighty God for blessing us to witness another Lord's Day that he has made. We thank him that he has clothed all of us in our right mind, has given all of us safe passage here to worship him in spirit and in truth. We thank God for your presence. And we thank God for the visitors that are here. We always like to say that we hope that we show ourselves friendly here in Longwood, that when you have the opportunity, you always make this place your place where you come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But before that we go any further, we always like to go to God in honor and to prayer. So at this time, let us humble ourselves once again while the one has been selected to lead us in prayer. This lesson this morning is to remind us that we are living in our last days. And we are living in the age of apostasy. The term amnesia, this word amnesia, simply means a partial or a total loss of memory. The term amnesia is a partial or total loss of memory. That's what amnesia means. That you can't remember anything that really is worth anything. Amnesia within itself is really not a bad thing. Because the longer that we live, is the more that you and I will suffer from bouts of amnesia. Now, it doesn't mean that we are crazy or anything like that. It just means that when you lay your keys down, it takes you a little longer to find them. And some of you all in here may know what I'm talking about. And I say to the young people, you don't know what I'm talking about this morning, just keep living. I remember when I reached that senior citizen mark, my aunt told me one day, she said, boy, you're getting on up there now where the happenings are. And now I know what she's talking about. We're going to suffer from bouts of amnesia. But I'd just like to say that is a stage of life that we have come to where we have the tendency to forget. That's what amnesia is about. We have this tendency to forget things. That means that it's bad. But there are some things that we must never forget. There are some things that we must always remember. We're living in this time of amnesia, spiritual amnesia, and apostasy. Now, this word apostasy is a dangerous word. And not only is it dangerous, it describes accurately the times that we are living in and our faith that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Apostasy is an English word that comes from two Greek words. It comes from this word. Apostasy. It comes from apothasis. This Greek word, apothasis, is where it comes from in the Greek. And when you syllabicate this word, apo means to stay. It means away. Got to stay away. This is what the word apo means, is to a way. And stasis means to stand. And depends on how it's used, it could mean stand under. Apo means a way. And stasis means to stand. Apostasis. It's just like the word that we use in Hebrew chapter 11 and verse 1, H-U-P-O. It means to stay. And it also means to stand. When we say faith is the substance in Hebrew chapter 11 and verse 1. And so we see that The prefix for apple is away, and the prefix for hupo is to stay, and the suffix is the same as this word here, stasis. Apostasis means to stand or stand under. Now, the biblical definition of apostasy is an abandonment. That's the biblical definition, is an abandonment of one religious faith is apostasy. The biblical definition. It also is an act of rebelling against. And it also is a forsaking. It's a falling away from what one has believed. It's what apostasy is. A falling away from what one has believed. Now, if I began in my Christian faith on the journey to heaven, and I believe in the one faith, the one church, the one baptism, the one Lord, if I began believing that in the very beginning of my faith, and then I move away from that position, now although it didn't change the authenticity of God's word, that didn't change, but I moved away from that position of believing in the one church, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, then I am in an apostate if I move away from that position. If I move away from the one church that Jesus Christ built and purchased with his own blood, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. I want us to read that. Let's take a look at that scripture in the book of Acts chapter 20. And we'll look at verse 28. 20 and verse 28. Notice what the Bible teaches. It says that, this is the elders here, speaking to this Holy Spirit, speaking to the elders. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God. And the King James Version says to feed. Now, it says the church of God. But how do I know that this is the church of Christ? Because this center is mortified, which he purchased with his own blood. That's how I know that this is the church of Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And I began to move away from the true church that Christ purchased with his own blood. And I began to teach and to tear down what the Bible has taught after coming into the church. Then that person, a person, is called an apostate. You don't have to move physically to be an apostate. We can move in our minds. We get to the point where I don't like this person over on this side and I don't like that person over on that side. You see, you haven't moved physically, but you have moved in your mind. You become an apostate. So one has to be very careful when it comes to leaving the church. Because this is serious. You think about, I'm just going over there to yada, yada, yada. No, it's more serious than that. Church business is serious business. This is not a place where we play. This is serious when it comes to the church. You see, apostasy, it means that we are not listening to what the Apostle Peter says. Because apostasy is just more than just leaving the church. We're not paying attention to what the Apostle Peter is saying. It's more than just leaving the church. Peter, in these passages of Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 2, he gives us a vivid picture. He gives us a clear picture. He gives us a graphic picture of the person that's doing the walking away. He gives us that picture. He gives us the picture of the person or persons that walks away from the true church, that walks away from the one faith, the one baptism, the one Lord, the one faith. Peter gives us that picture. He gives us a picture of this person walking away from the only true document on earth, this Bible, that gives us the voice of God. That person's in a dangerous position. He gives us a graphic picture of when we forget where we came from. I want to say to the young people this morning, don't ever forget where you came from and why you came to Christ, as well as the mature Christians as well. Because if we're not careful, it's a possibility we can end up right back where we started. Don't ever forget why we came to Christ. Peter gives us the characteristic and the condition of that person that walks away from the gospel of Christ. And I just want to go back to Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm not going to read all those scriptures, but I want to start at verse 21. And we'll take a look at that again. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Notice what the Bible says. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Notice what he says. He says, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them." Peter is saying that if you come into the body of Christ, the blood-bought church, and tasted the word of God and found out how sweet that word is, and you've been baptized and you walk away, Peter said it would have been better if you never got baptized. He said it would have been better. It would have been better for you to know what you know and you walk away. It would have been better that you did not come into the church of Christ. That's what Peter is saying. Not Brother James. This is what Peter is saying. It would have been better if you had never got baptized, to come into the true church, and then you walk away. Notice what he says also. Verse 22. He said, "For it has happened to them according to the true proverb,
a dog returning to his own vomit. Now, I've seen this. I have seen a dog regurgitate himself, vomit, and he go back and eat it. Now, this may mess up your lunch today, but this is Bible. I've seen a dog do that. And what Peter is saying, that this is how we look in the eyes of God. It's when we come into the truth. And for some strange reason, we say, well, I don't like that anymore. And we go somewhere else. It doesn't matter if you go somewhere else. The Bible says that when you leave the true church, that person or persons that walking away in the eyes of God, that we look, that's how you look. And this is how I look if I walk away. I look like that dog that regurgitate himself. He vomits. And then he go back and he eat it. That's how we look in the eyes of God. He says that also that we look like that sow. And that sow is a hog. Having been washed and go back to her wallowing in the mire. Now you can take a hog and bring this hog into your house. Give him a good bath. Put all this good smelling stuff on a hog. But as soon as you open that door and his feet hit the ground, he's going right back to the mud where he came from. You might want to say, why would a hog do that after he'd come into the house and you're cleaning him up and got all this good smelling stuff on him? He goes right back to wallowing in the mud again. Because that hog mind has not been changed. The Bible says this is a true proverb. That's a lesson to us this morning. And the changing of our minds is to stay with the church. Because if we're not careful, we can go right back where we came from. The Bible teaches us, and the book of 1 Timothy, and we'll go ahead and read a few passages of scripture. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 1. It says that now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their own conscience seared with a hard iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused, for if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. This is the instruction that the Apostle Peter gave to Timothy. He also tells us that we are to not forget where we came from. Because you see, in the book of Galatians chapters 1, the Bible tells it, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, into another gospel. Then he goes on and say in the very next verse, it's which is not another.
there's not but one gospel. And that is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So don't even look for another one because there's not but one. You know what the Bible, we know what Paul says in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. He says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsels of God, or the whole counsels of God. Do we know what that means? That means that everything that pertains to life and godliness, Paul say, I told you. There's nothing left out. So we don't have to wonder about, is there something missing? Everything that we need to know to get from earth to where God is, Paul said he told us. We don't need to worry about that. But it is amazing that how we as Christians, we make up all kind of excuses sometimes for not coming to church. And those same excuses we use for not coming to church, we won't use that excuse for going to work, but we use it for coming to church. Tell God my big toe is hurting. I'm not going this morning. Just tell God anything. Tell him I got a headache. But what you want to tell your boss Monday, don't tell him nothing. I'll be there. And it's not 10:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, we're up. 7 o'clock in the morning, we're up. What are you doing out there that time of morning? I got business to take care of. You ever wonder why we have this scripture in Hebrews 10 and verse 25? You ever wonder why that? The Holy Spirit penned that in there. That not forsaking of the assembly of yourselves together as some other. You ever wonder why that Holy Spirit had that scripture penned in the Bible? I've talked to some Christian. They say, well, you know what? I'm missing church, but I'm not forsaking. I just miss, but I'm not forsaking. In Hebrews 10 and 25, there was an impending danger that was coming. Nero was going to burn down Rome and lie on the Christian and say the Christian did it. So this impending danger was coming. And that's why some were forsaking the assembly of themselves together. Nero captured Christians. And the historian, writer for the Jews, Josephus, says that he would put Christians in barrels of tar, hot tar, so hot that it burned their skin off. And just like we have street lights, Nero would tie the Christian to the poles and he would set them afire and light up the streets of Rome. With the Christians. This impending danger was coming. And also, they tell me that the first football game that they had, it was the Lions against the Christians. Nero would take these lions and he would cage them up for several days and they would be hungry. And the Christian that he had captured, he would take sheep skin and put it on the Christians. And for Nero's own pleasure, he would send the Christians out there and the lion would smell the sheep hide and would eat the Christians. That impending danger. But the Christians were encouraged. Is don't you forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Because you see, right here in the assembly, you're going to get something here that you don't get out there. We all we got. And we come here and we get encouraged from each other. We get edified from each other. Our faith is increased when we come here. You see, you're going to get something here. You're not going to get out in that world. That's why they were encouraged. Don't forsake yourselves or the assembly of yourselves together. That is the context of that scripture in Hebrews 10 and 25. Don't forsake the assembly. And whether we realize it or not, that Christ is here this morning. The Bible says, where there's two or three, there's a symbol in his name, there he is also in the midst. Although we don't see him, but he's here. So don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. The Bible tells us, number one, it's a requirement that we come here. It's an order from God that we be here. It's an imperative that we be here on the first day of the week. Paul gave this charge to Timothy. He said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince. The old James, King James says reprove. He said, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, people want their ears to be tingled with something brand new. I won't need to hear something brand new. The ears need to be tingled with that. And they'll be running just from teachers to teachers, trying to get this. And these are the times that you and I are living in. The Bible says they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know, if we don't seek the truth, a lie is what we're going to get. If you don't seek the truth, that's what we're in. That's a universal law. You don't want the truth, you'll get a lie. And you see, it's not just Peter just talking about this apostasy. God warns his people all through the Bible. You see warnings all the way back through Genesis. You see where God people fell into apostasy. It's not just the apostle Peter. People turn their back on God. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, Cain was a victim of turning his back on God. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, a whole world turned their back on God. They fell into apostasy. The Bible says that the people sinned so profusely that it repented God that he had even made man. In the book of Genesis chapter 6. In the book of Genesis chapter 11, a group of people says that we know a way that how we're going to go to heaven. We're going to build a tower. They turn their back on God. In the book of Genesis chapter 19, a group of people said, we don't care how God made us. This is how we're going to get pleasure in Sodom and Gomorrah. They turned their back on God. Israel, God's chosen people, turned their back on God. These are the people that was in bondage, in Egyptian bondage for 430 years, and God brought them out. And he opened up the Red Sea. And they walked through on dry land. And when they were hungry, God rained down food from heaven and gave them food to eat. And when they were thirsty, God gave them water from a rock. That's the God that we serve. They turn their back on God. And I'm saying to you this morning in closing, don't study the Bible to find out who's right and who's wrong. Study the Bible is to get to know your God. Because the Bible says, and you read this in the privacy of your home, the book of Isaiah chapter 1 speaks of the heart of God. God says that the ox knows his master. The donkey knows his master crib. He said, I have raised up your children. Your children, children. And you still don't know me. After all I've done for you, you still don't know me. This is our lesson this morning, brothers and sisters. These are the times that we're living in, and we need to be watchful and be careful. I would be remiss this morning is not to tell us and show us how to be saved. First of all, the first step in God's plan of salvation is to hear. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the first step in God's plan of salvation. After hearing it, we must believe it. The Bible tells us in the book of St. John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus says that except you believe that I am he, he said you will die in your sins. In verse 21 of that same passage of scripture, Jesus says that if you die in your sins, you will seek me. He said, but where I am, you can't come. So we must believe the word of God when we hear it. After believing it, we must repent. Luke 13 and 3 says, I'll tell you nay. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And repeats again in verse 5, say, I'll tell you nay. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And after repenting comes a good confession. Is that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a good confession. Because you know, all those things that the Christian went through when Nero had captured him, do you know that was for the cause of Christ? That's why they went through it, because of their faith, the cause of Christ. We must make that good confession that I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The book of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 teaches us that. And after we've been made the confession, we are baptized into the body of Christ. And don't let anyone tell you that you're saved before you're baptized. Because you see, when you get baptized, baptism is to have your sins washed away. And you're not going to get your sins washed away by calling on the Lord. No, that's not how you get your sins washed away. You have to be baptized to have your sins washed away. Then you walk in the newness of life and you become a child of God after you have your sins washed away, according to Galatians 3 and verse 27. It said, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put him on. That's when we put him on, is in the watery grave of baptism. Then we walk in the newness of life. And then, as Christians, as we stumble and fall and make mistakes, we are to repent of those sins, especially if we have shamed the body of Christ, make that confession, and we are to come and ask for the prayers of our sisters and brothers that we might be restored back into the fellowship again. And this morning, if you haven't done this, and you need to do it, we can baptize you today. And I say today also, if you just need prayer, while we sing the chosen song, if you're subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make the good confession.